الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمين. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We mentioned last week, إخوتي في الله وأخواتي, that this month, the month of Shawwal, that we remind ourselves and we remind you of the 6 days of Shawwal, and also we remind you to continue to try to be diligent in reading the Quran and making the salat in the masjid and all of that. In the month of Shawwal, we mentioned we want to dedicate this month to dealing with some of the ahkam that are connected to the lisan, the tongue, which is one of the greatest ni'mas that Allah has bestowed upon us, as we mentioned last week. And we said from the dalil that the lisan is a ni'mah is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal reminded Bani Adam of the fact that He gave him the lisan. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانٍ وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Have we not given you 2 eyes, and we gave you a tongue and 2 lips? وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. And we showed you the 2 paths, the path of the haq and the path of the batil. So with your eyes and with your 2 lips and with your lisan, try to be a person who is going to be upon the path of an-nur, the path of al-haq. That can't be accomplished unless a person gets his tongue under control. So we mentioned, and we want to remind you again today, of the importance of the lisan and the makan of the lisan in al-Islam. We want to remind you that the lisan in al-Islam, it has an important makan, it has an important place. And that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, when he was asked, Ayyul Muslimin Afdal, who is the best Muslim? Who is the best person in here? Who is a Muslim? He said, Man salim al muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The best Muslim from amongst you, the best person who is on Islam, is the one who the Muslims are saved from his lisan, and they are saved and they are free from his hand. So that shows the importance of the lisan in al-Islam. That if you are Muslim and you practice this religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever chooses a religion other than al-Islam, then it won't be accepted from him, and he will, يوم القيامة, be from the losers. So the only deen that will be accepted is al-Islam. And the lisan has a serious makan in al-Islam, because the best of those people who are on Islam are the ones who the Muslims are free from their lisan. In addition to that, he said to us, especially those from us who are young, the shabab, to show the importance of the lisan in al-Islam, مَنْ يَدْمِنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَدْمِنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. The important place of the tongue in al-Islam is that he guaranteed you Jannah. Whoever can guarantee me that he will take care of his tongue and he will take care of what is between his legs, then I will guarantee you Jannah. Because they are 2 morsels of flesh that are very difficult to gain control over. So al-Islam came to teach you how to control all of that by making the salah, by fasting in the month of Ramadan, by making the hajj. All of that is connected to taking care of that lisan. The one who performs the hajj and he doesn't make a rafath, he doesn't speak about lewd things, nor does he argue it. That is the Hajj al-Mabrur. So he has to take care of his lisan. In the month of Ramadan, the person is not taking care of his lisan. He has no fast. The salat tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar. The salat prevents lewdness and it prevents the evil things. So he guaranteed you Jannah if you can guarantee that you take care of your lisan. And finally, ikhwati fillahi, and especially our sisters who have a lot of idle time. And from the characteristics of the Nisa is that they more than anyone else have a very difficult time with overcoming the fitna of the lisan. The last proof of the position of the lisan in al-Islam, and there are many, is that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah, you are Muslim and you believe in Allah, that He created you, and He gave you the ni'mah of al-nutq, the ni'mah of al-takallam wa al-tahadduth. And you believe in the last day that you'll be held accountable for what you said, he said, then let him speak good or let him remain silent. Three, a hadith to show the important place of the lisan in al-Islam. He guaranteed you Jannah if you can take care of it. The best Muslim is the one who the other Muslims are safe from his lisan. And if you believe in Allah on the last day, then let yourself, let that person who has Iman, alaykum salam, let him speak good and let him be quiet. We also want to remind you, Akhwan, about the minhaj that comes from that hadith. The last hadith that we mentioned has a minhaj. That minhaj is, if a person knows that what he is going to say is good, then go ahead and speak about it. And if a person knows that what he's going to say is evil, then let him be quiet. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or let him remain silent. And whoever is in doubt, what I want to say, what I'm about to say, I don't know if it's good and I don't know if it's bad. I don't know if it will harm and I don't know if it's going to benefit. If you don't know, then remain silent and leave what you doubt for what you don't doubt. Today we want to deal with an issue that is probably the biggest fitna in our community as it relates to the lisan. I didn't say that it was the biggest sin. No, the biggest sin as it relates to the lisan is for a person to make a statement of kufr. For a person to say something of disbelief. That's the biggest sin as it relates to the lisan. And it's an issue that needs to be discussed, but we'll leave that for another time, inshallah. We want to talk today about an issue that is the biggest fitna for us. And if the khatib in this masjid or in any masjid in the dunya, if he were to continuously give a khutbah about this issue, wallahi, we would consider him to be a nasih of the ummah. He's a person who's given nasiha, because we need to be reminded of it over and over and over. And the one who has been blessed with a sadiq, with a khalil, with an akh, a sadiqa, if she has been blessed with a friend who can constantly remind that person of this issue, then that friend is a ni'mah also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the fitna of al-ghiba. The fitna of al-ghiba. The biggest fitna in our community here in this masjid. The biggest fitna in the community in Leeds. The biggest fitna in the community in Barford, and on and on and on. Ghiba. Big fitna that Allah mentioned in the Quran when He said to the believers, وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَهَدُكُمْ مَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. And do not eat the flesh. Do not make ghibah of each other. Do not backbite each other. Would one of you like to eat the dead flesh of his brother is dead, and he doesn't mind eating from his flesh? Allah said, فَكَرِهْتُمُ. No, instead, you hate that, or you're supposed to hate that. Unless your fitrah has become contaminated, then it's okay. So that is al-ghiba that has been mentioned in the Quran. Al-ghiba is a kabira from the kaba'ir. We know that a sin is a major sin by three things. We know that a sin is a major sin by three things. One of the ways we know a major sin is a major sin is if Allah Azza wa Jalla or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that that is a kabira. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرُ, what's the most biggest sin? He said, أَشْرْكُ بِاللَّهِ, that you make shirk. So they asked him, what's the biggest sin? He said, shirk with Allah. He said, then what? He said, أَنْ تَقْتُلْ وَلَدِكْ خَشْيَةً أَنْ يَأْكُلْ مَعَكَ. The second one is, for you to kill your child out of fear that he's going to eat with you, he's going to share with you. You're afraid that you can't take care of the child. And then what, Ya Rasulullah, he said, أَقُقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, that you disobey and you disrespect your parents. So we know that all of those are major sins because he was asked, what are the biggest sins? So that's the first way. Allah, His messengers say it's a big sin. The second way, Ikhwan, that we know that a sin is a major sin is if there is a hajj for it in the dunya. You get your hand chopped off for something, then that's a kabira from the kabair. You get flogged 80 times, because you accuse someone without any delil. You said that he made zina, she made zina, without any delil. You get flogged 80 times. There's a hajj for that. You get put in prison. There's a hajj for that. The kabira from the kabair. Or there would be no punishment that comes as a result of it, if it wasn't a kabira. And number three, you know that a sin is a major sin due to the description that it has. Whoever does this, then he's from the brothers of Shaitan. Whoever does this, then he'll be in the hellfire. Whoever did this, Allah won't purify him. Allah won't look at him. Allah will be angry with him. Allah will curse him. Whoever did this, this is like eating the flesh of your dead brother. Whoever did this, it is like having relationships with his mother. Akramakum Allah. So those are the three ways that we know that a sin is a kabira from the kabair. And then al-ghiba falls into that. The description that has been given in the ayat of the Quran, would one of you love, like, except eating the flesh of your brother? That's how we know it's a kabira from the kabair. As it relates to al-ghiba, the Prophet said also, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, ya ma'ashara man amana lisanuhu wa lam yadkhul al-imanu fi qalbihi, لا تختاب المسلمين ولا تتتبع أوراتهم فإنه من تتبع أورة المسلم أفضحه الله في أقري بيته. He said to the Muslims, and this is a description for the majority of the people, the vast majority of the people, that we need to make tawbah. He said to his community, came out to them for no apparent reason, made us Allah, turned around and he said to those people, oh, you people who you have embraced Islam with your tongues, but al-Islam has not entered into your heart. Do not make ghiba of the Muslim. He just came out. They didn't understand. Oh, you people who you have accepted al-Islam by your tongue. Your name is Ahmed. Your name is Bilal. You do the Eid. You may pray. Wear hijab. You say the things of al-Islam, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, but you do not look at the blood and the honor of the Muslims being haram upon you. He said, those of you who have believed with your tongues, you say you're a believer, do not make ghiba of the Muslims, and do not go after their awrat. Do not try to find out about their private personal issues. Don't make a takalluf and make an effort to find out, is he married? Does he have another child? Is she divorced? How much money does she make? He has the telephone and the mobile phone of a person rings, and in his absence you pick his phone up to find out who's calling. Who does he have in, who are the people in the phone? It's not your business who the people are in his telephone. What does it have to do with you? Don't go after the awrat of the Muslim. The Muslim woman, she should not take out her husband's wallet and start going through his wallet trying to read the papers that are in his pockets and in his wallet. Don't go after the awrat of the Muslims. Whoever tries to follow after the awrat of the Muslim, Allah will expose him in the inner recesses of his home. Allah will make him a person who will be exposed. A shahid from this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put doubt on the Islam of the person who is making ghiba of the Muslim. And he described that individual as a person who he believed with his lisan and he didn't believe with the iman that should be in the heart. As it relates to al-ghiba, the exact definition of ghiba, because I believe if we understood and we knew what al-ghiba was, it would be clearer to us and easier not to do it and not to fall into it. And if we knew the severity of it and the seriousness of it and why people do it, those du'afa, then we will come to know of why it is befitting in our best interest to leave it. He came out, he asked his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, atadruna mal ghiba? Do you people know what ghiba is? You're Arabs, and I'm asking you, do you know what ghiba is? Ghiba is from the word ghaib, from the word ghaib. The mudarris, the teacher wants to know where is the student, where is Abdullah. His brother says, huwa ghaib. He's absent, he's not here. Al ghaib, ilm al ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen. Ghiba is called ghiba because it's connected to that word of al ghaib, something that is not seen. So we asked his companions, do you people know what al-ghiba is? They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. We're not going to talk about Allah's religion without knowledge. Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, al-ghiba tu dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. Ghiba is that you mention something about your brother that he doesn't like. It is that you mention something about your Muslim brother, your Muslim sister, your Muslim relative. Something that he doesn't like. The companions wanted more information, more elaboration. The man said, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن مَا قُلْتَ عَنْهُ صَحِيحًا كَانَ فِيهِ. Do you see if what I said about my brother is true? He has bad breath. He really does have bad breath. His feet stink. He's stingy. He's not that bright. What I'm saying is true about my brother. He's not that bright. He has bad breath, his feet stink, and he's not that bright. What if that is the case? He said, "In kana fihi faqad akhtabtahu wa in lam yakun fihi faqad bahathtahu." He said, "If what you said about him in his absence is in him, he has that thing, then you made ghiba of him. And if what you said about him is not there, not true, then you've gone a step further. You have slandered the man. You have made slander." So al-ghiba is mentioning something about your brother, not about the kafir. Mentioning something about your brother in his absence, and he doesn't like it that you would mention that particular thing. In another narration, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, الغيبة أن تذكر الرجل بالذي يكره في غيبته. غيبة is for you to mention something about a person in his absence and he doesn't love or he doesn't like what you say. That's الغيبة إخواني. So anything that we talk about other people, for the most part, you know the person doesn't like the fact that you're talking about them the way that you're talking about them. All of that is a ghiba, and it is a kabira from the kaba'ir. As for the hadith talking about the tarheeb and the severity of al-ghiba, there are too many. We want to really get to the meat of this issue, so we'll only give you a few. Like the hadith of what happened in the Isra, in the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The incident, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And for your information, al-Isra is one thing and al-Mi'raj is another thing. There are two different things going on. Al-Isra is when a person goes out at night. If you left your home after Maghrib, that is al-Isra. To go out at night time, that's the meaning of al-Isra. You are Musri, you're Sahib al-Isra. Isra means to go out at night time. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Allah said, glory unto Allah who took his slave at night time from the Masjid al-Haram to the Masjid of al-Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis. So al-Isra is when Allah Azza wa Jal took him from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis at night time. That's Al-Isra. Al-Mi'raj is when he went from Bayt al-Maqdis into the seven heavens. So know the difference and the distinction between your deen and these issues, because it is your deen. Al-I'raj is to go up. And that's why they call the one who limps, the one who has one leg shorter than the other leg, they call him Al-A'raj, from that word, because he goes up and down. They call the step also the Mu'raj, the one that you go up, is called the steps in your home. And the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came upon a lot of people. He came upon the lady who was combing the hair of Fir'aun's daughter. And that lady dropped the comb while she was combing the hair of Fir'aun's daughter, and she said, Bismillah. And in another narration, Bismi Rabbi, in the name of my Lord. She dropped it and she said, Bismi Rabbi. The little girl said, Walaki Rabbu ghayri Abi, do you have a Lord other than my father? And she said, Rabbi wa Rabbuki la, my Lord and your Lord is Allah. Rasulullah told about that story. He told about the story of the Zunat, the people who make zina. He said, I came amongst a group of people who were in a big vessel, and the vessel had a fat base to it, and then it got skinny in the middle, and then it got fat again at the mouth. And there was a great big fire at the bottom of it, and it was kindled, and it was a huge, magnificent fire, and the people were near getting burnt up in the liquid, so it would cause them to rise. And when they got to the middle, they were getting squeezed. And then they got to the top and they would almost fall out, but the fire would go down and they would go back in, get squeezed, and that was how they were in the Jannah. So that someone may say, how is Fir'aun's daughter in the Jannah? And she's saying you have a Lord other than Allah and she's in Jannah. Those are from the affairs of the unseen. And the ahkam of the unseen are different than the ahkam here. The ahkam of the hereafter and the grave are different. So we don't raise ahkam here like we do things of the ahkam of the grave like we do here. So those people were seen in the Jannah when he went to the Mi'raj. He asked Jibril, Ya Jibril, who are those people that was taking place with them, going up and down, getting squeezed, getting burnt? He said, those are the zunat of your ummah. Those are the people who make zina from your ummah, and those are the liquids from the action that they used to do. That's their punishment. He said, when I went to the Mi'raj, I never passed a group of malaika except that they told me, Ya Muhammad, do the hijama. For verily, the hijama is a cure from every disease. Every time I would go to a group of angels, they would tell me, take the blood out of your body. Because al-hijama is a cure for every disease. So the point is, ikhwati fillah, he saw a lot of things there. One of the things that he saw, that there were a group of people who had long fingernails made out of copper, and they were scratching their faces, and they were scratching their chest until the meat was coming off. In a state of fear, he said, Ya Jibril, man ha'ulai. Jibril, who are those people? He said, ha'ulai. Ula'ika alladhina kanu yakhtabuna an-nas wa yaq'una fi a'radihim. Those are the people who used to make ghiba, and they used to fall into the honor of the Muslims. Talk about the irf, his honor. Your father was this, your tribe is nothing. You were just a shoemaker. He may have a PhD, but his father was a shoemaker or a butcher. So the one who is unemployed looks at him as if he's nothing, because his father used to be a shoemaker, and that's how he talks about his irf, his honor. So that's from the tarheeb that Rasulullah gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning the ghibah. And even more sinister than that, ikhwan, and we want to remind you of this because it is serious. He said about al-ghiba when he compared it to something that we all heard. But for some reason we remember the first part of the hadith, and we neglect to remember and to consider the second part. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الربا الربا اثنان وسبعون بابا أدناها مثل إتيان الرجل أمه وأربع الربا استطالة الرجل في عرض أخيه. He said riba has 72 doors, blanket, level. The least level of interest, usury, is like a man having a relationship with his with his walida. Nas'al Allah al-afi wa salama. That is the lowest type, the lowest example of a riba. Maybe it's the person who he just has a bank account, but he doesn't really utilize it, but he gets riba. He doesn't really want the riba, but he has to fall into it. Maybe that's it. The lowest form. I don't want the riba. I want to stay away from riba, but I got to fall into it. Well, the lowest type of riba, like the one who doesn't want it, is like the issue with his walida, with his He said, and the highest type of riba, the most severe riba, is for a man to fall into talking about the irth or the honor of his brother. So when we hear about the part of with the mother, the thought of it is repugnant, is evil. But that's the lowest form. Higher than that is the man making the kalam that he shouldn't make, or the woman making the kalam or the speech about another Muslim that we shouldn't find time to talk about. But because it has become an acceptable practice to us to talk about people, we don't really consider the severity and the seriousness of it. It's not in the heart. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by a man who told him, Ya Rasulullah, I fell into zina, make the hajj upon me. One man said to the other man, can you believe that this man came and he said that about himself and exposed himself, and now he's going to get stoned like a dog? So they stoned him. And after stoning him, those two men walked with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came upon a donkey that was dead. He said to both of them, one of them said the word. The other one didn't say anything. He said to that one, can you believe this guy came here and he exposed himself? Now he's going to get stoned like a dog. The other one didn't say, oh yeah, that's a bad thing. Can you believe what he did? The other guy didn't say anything. So they stoned him. They walked with Rasulullah. He came upon the dead body, a carcass of a donkey. He said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kula hadihi jifa. He said, eat this jifa. The man said, rahimakallah, ya Rasulullah. May Allah have mercy upon you, ya Rasulullah. How are we going to eat from this dead carcass? What are you talking about? The dead animal is haram. This is a donkey, and he's dead. He told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, manutuma من أخيكم آنسا أشد من أكلكما منها. What you two said about your brother before is more severe than eating this donkey. Why? Because wallahi, that man right now is in one of the castles of paradise. So what you said about that man is worse than you sitting down eating the donkey. It's worse than that. So the issue of ghibah, ikhwani, it is not a small issue. Which brings us to point number one about misunderstanding al-ghibah and understanding ghibah. From this last hadith, it goes to show that you don't have to also be the one who's participating in the actual kalam to be considered one who's making ghibah. If you're listening to it, you're guilty. If you allow the person to feel comfortable that he can say it to you, you're guilty. Like the second man. He didn't say anything. He didn't have a comment. He didn't share anything. But his demeanor and his disposition and his action suggested that he listened to the kalam of that other man. He didn't say to him, Ittaqillah, I don't want to hear that. You don't know the reality of that man. I have enough of my own personal problems.
that I don't need to be making ghibah, me, myself. I don't have time, nor do I have the need to make ghibah of anyone else in this creation because I have my own personal problem. Anyone who makes ghibah is because he's wretched. He has problems, so he kind of wants to make himself feel better, so he has to talk about other people. That's one of the reasons people make ghibah. Hasid, envy, jealousy, another reason people make ghibah. They want to put people down. They want to make ghibah of other people. Ghibah brings no good unless it's done in the ways that are halal. So the first thing about al-ghibah and the fiqh of al-ghibah is you being a person who sits there and you allow it to take place, you're just as guilty. Ad-dalu ala khayran kafa'ilihi. The one who guides something, someone to good, will get the reward of doing it himself. If you got it, whoever opened this door to this masjid, he gets the reward of helping the people to pray. Whoever opened that door to the masjid, he gets the reward of helping the people to pray. And similarly, the one who took the key and he locked the door, he's responsible for the people not praying. So the one who hears the ghibah and he allowed the person to feel comfortable with it, he is responsible. And Allah told us, وَلَا تَقْعُدْ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْدَ ذِكْرَى. Don't sit with them people after you hear the ayat of Allah being played with, after you see that the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being put down. Don't sit with them. Either tell them it's haram or get up and leave the presence. Second thing that many people fail to realize and understand is that the person may say, you know, Fulan, he's a thief and he did this and he did that, and I'll tell him that in his face. Wallahi, I'm willing and ready to say that to him if he was here. That's still ghibah, even if you're sincere and honest about having the courage to tell him in his face. Then you should go and tell him in his face as opposed to saying it behind his back and making ghibah. Because you're willing to say it in his face doesn't make it halal. Ghibah is mentioning something about your brother in his absence and he doesn't want you to mention that thing. So it's not enough that you're serious and you're honest about mentioning it in his face or in his presence. But in mentioning the ghibah, ikhwan, it should be understood that we have to stay in the middle course. There are some times when ghibah is permissible, and there are some times when ghibah is wajibah, and sometimes when ghibah is, as we just mentioned, haram. When are the times that it is permissible to make ghibah? There are a number of cases when you can make ghibah, and it's not considered to be ghibah. The first case is, if you want to describe someone to someone else, you can say something that he may not like you mentioning that, but you're only mentioning it because the person does not understand who you're talking about unless you mention that particular aspect of that person. Had he been there, he wouldn't have liked that you described him the way you did, or with that thing. But your intent should not be to describe him to put him down. You're describing him by that thing that he may not like so that that person who you're talking to would know who you're talking to. There are a number of Muhammads in our community. Muhammad Aslam. Which Muhammad Aslam? We have a number of them. Which one are you talking about? You know the one who's unemployed. All of them work except one. He may not like that you mentioned he's unemployed, but you didn't say it to bring him down. The Prophet said to his companions, as Umar radiallahu anhu said during his khilafah, Umar met a group of people from the tribe of Al-Quraniyin, the Quraniyun. They came to give the bay'ah, to mention and to meet Umar and to visit Medina. Umar, with his iman, he asked, in your tribe, is there a man by the name of Uwais Al-Qarani? They say, yes, we have Uwais al-Qarani, he's camped somewhere, we have a person like that. He said, go get him. They went and they got Uwais al-Qarani. He said, Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there will be a man who will come from Yemen. His name is Uwais al-Qarani, and he's from the Khairu Tabi'een. Rasulullah called the Tabi'un the Tabi'een. The companions of Sahaba are those people with him. And then the ones who met the Sahabas, but they didn't meet Rasulullah, they're the Tabi'een. Where that word come from? Rasulullah called them the Tabi'een. Allah called them the Tabi'een in the Quran. السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. He called them الذين اتبعوهم, the ones who followed them. He said, Rasulullah told us, there will be a group of people from Yemen, there will be a man from amongst them, his name is Uwais al-Qarni, and he would leave behind in Yemen his mother, وَكَانَ فِيهِ بَيْضَى, and he's going to have a speck or a spot, an area on his body where he has al-barf, leprosy. So Rasulullah described the man's leprosy. No human being who has leprosy. The leper doesn't like to be described as being a leper. It is a fitna disease. So Rasulullah described him like that, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, himself, so that the people would know who he is. Not so that they would run away from him. Not so that they would say, you're a leper, let's put him in a colony. If he said it for that reason, then the Muslim is sinning. You know, Muhammad, the leper. But he wants to put him down. You know Muhammad, the one with the big head. He wants to put him down. That's not permissible. So when you want to describe someone, you can say the one who is crippled, the one who has a speech impediment, and on and on and on. Second time that is permissible to make al-ghiba, ikhwani, to make al-ghiba, is when a person has been oppressed. He has been oppressed. He's mazloom. He's mazloom. So he has to mention that his father oppressed him. Her husband oppressed her. The father called the daughter. How are you doing, ya bunayya? How you doing, ya binti? She says, not good, Abby. He did this to me and he's doing that. He's out drinking. Maybe the husband doesn't want that to be mentioned. He can't say to his wife, you mentioned to your father what I don't like. I wasn't there. It's ghiba. Nah, that's permissible. He's been oppressed. She's been oppressed. They've been oppressed. Now you can mention about those people because of the oppression. And there are too many examples from that, from the sunnah. From the sunnah. The lady came and told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, our husbands are hitting us. Our husbands are hitting us. First the men told him, the women are getting out of hand. They're talking. So would you give us permission to hit him? He gave him permission to hit him. But some people went overboard. The women came and complained, our husbands are hitting us. Rasulullah said, the ones who hit their wives, they're not the best from amongst us. So the ones who told him that their husband was hitting them, there was oppression. So they allowed him to know what was going on. So when you're oppressed, you can also make ghiba. Number three, ikhwan, if you need an Islamic verdict, a fatwa, you need to know, should I stay in a marriage? Should I get out of the marriage? Why do you want to get out of the marriage? Because my mate was unfaithful. My mate was unfaithful. They did this, they did that. So that person tells that to the mufti. It's permissible to say that in order for the individual to know what to do when he wants to get a fatwa. Number four, ikhwan, and this is probably the most important one, is when you have to give Muslims nasiha. When you have to give Muslims advice. You have to give Muslims advice. Want to go into business? This brother has a track record of stealing people's money. He has a track record of investing and opening businesses that do not do very well. So if you know about that, it's okay and it's a duty for you to go to the person and say, don't invest with him. Even if you're not asked about it, it's a duty. Don't invest with him because he has a history. Go into business. Don't marry him. He's not very good when it comes to the issue of marriage. For whatever the reason, whatever the issue is. Our religion, the religion of Islam, has been protected because of this. And that the scholars of Islam, particularly the scholars of Al-Hadith, they used to criticize certain narrators. There would be a narrator who narrates Hadith on Rasulullah and he lies and he fabricates. So they would say he's a kazab. And he would become known as a kazab in public. Now, people lie on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Rasulullah said this, Ya Jabir, no. The first thing that I created, that your Lord created, was my nur. No, that Allah said, if it wasn't for me, He wouldn't have created the creation. So the people lie. They get on the minbar, and they lie, and they use weak hadith. So we want to get away from using weak hadith, because the authentic hadith is enough for you. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-kadhibu alayya laysa ka-kadhibin ala ahad. Lying about me is not like lying on anyone else. You make the Muslims like the Christians are. Rasulullah said this, Rasulullah said that. Where did he say that? And then if you tell the person, that hadith is da'if. The person responds by saying, well, I heard it in a tape. Well, I read it in this book. Well, I read it on this paper. That's not enough. If you find out that the hadith is weak, then say, A'udhu billah wa atubu ilayh, and you get away from it and stop using it, just like that. That's the nasiha of the community. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, ikhwani, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he said, from the day that I knew that ghiba was haram, I stopped making ghiba. So, whenever Al-Imam al-Bukhari says about a narrator, he's a kazzab, or he's matruk, or his hadith is munkar, then you know it's a serious issue. Because Bukhari was very reluctant to talk about people. There would be a criminal man in hadith. Al-Bukhari would say, fihi nazar, and it's something wrong with him. And he's a criminal. But that's because he didn't want to say something bad about something. So whenever you find Al-Imam al-Bukhari, if anyone comes, and a lot of the hadith that these people use, a lot of these ahadith, and Imam al-Bukhari said about the people in the chain of narration to their hadith that they're using, so and so is a kazzab. Whenever you see al-Bukhari say that, it is a serious issue going on. And the same thing with al-Imam al-Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. He used to be easy with the people. People would come to him from this Jama'ah, from that Jama'ah. He would be very careful and very easy about how he advised people and how he warned people. You want to know about this particular person or this particular group? The Sheikh would be easy, hoping that the person would come back. Not like the new people today. We want to deal the death blow to everyone. We want to kill him and destroy him. He's our brother. A lot of times he's misguided based upon his environment, based upon ignorance, based upon the fact that he's trying to do the right thing. So give the brother an opportunity to be saved. Man qal halaka an-nas huwa ahlakahum. The one who says the people have been destroyed, he's the one who destroyed them. You're not giving the people a break. But ikhwan, there are some people, I have to be honest with you, who they should be dealt the death blow because of their evil, because of what they're doing to the Muslims and making the people go astray in what they're saying. They should be dealt the death blow. So don't get it wrong. We have to have the middle course in all of our affairs. Al-Hallaj, al-Sufi. Al-Hallaj, he was so gone, so far out into the stratosphere, that he used to tell the people who were sitting there, you people, you're really not here. This is a mirage. The reality of you sitting here, and he would come up with some story, and the people sitting there will start to believe that they're not really sitting there. His students will go home and tie pieces of string around their finger so that when they woke up in the morning, the man knows, yeah, I'm the person who went to sleep here last night. What kind of deen is that? What kind of deen is that? So people who teach Muslims like this, they need to be dealt with. Umar dealt with those kind of people, radiallahu anhu. So, if you have to give nasiha, it's permissible. The lady, Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, I watched The Message the other day, Ikhwan, the classic, the movie, The Message. It's a classic. It still gets me pumped up, especially the parts about jihad and how it was back then and stuff like that. In The Message, they had Hind, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, screaming at Abu Sufyan. That's one of the big problems with the movie. Hind was saying, when Abu Sufyan was saying we can't defeat them, we have to make peace at the end, him came and was trying to slap Abu Sufyan and he grabbed her and just said, we can't win, we can't win. Wallahi, no man in this masjid would dare raise his hand to Abu Sufyan in Jahiliyyah or in Al-Islam. Not to mention the woman. My wife better not think about picking her hand up to slap me. That's my wife. I don't know about you, but my wife better not think about it. You think Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, is going to allow how they depicted him in that movie? That's the problem that we have with that movie. Bilal, the mu'ezzin in the movie, he played in another movie in America where he was a drug dealer. That Bilal of the movie played in the movie was a drug dealer. So, ikhwan, we have to be balanced in these issues. Anyway, Hind came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, inna Abu Sufyan rajulun shihih. Rasulullah, my husband Abu Sufyan, he is very stingy. Shihih, more than bakhil. She mentioned something he wouldn't like. Can I take from his money? He doesn't give me enough for my kid and myself unless I take it without his knowledge. Can I take his money? Rasulullah said, take what is enough for you and your baby with ma'ruf. Don't go overboard. So she mentioned something about Rasul, about her husband that wasn't nice. Fatima bint Qais came. Ya Rasulullah, I need some advice. Abu Jahm and Muawiyah, the son of Abu Sufyan, both of them, they want to marry me, Ya Rasulullah. What do you think? I need your advice. He said, don't marry either one of them. As for Muawiyah, he doesn't have money. He's unemployed. He doesn't have any money. Won't be able to take care of you. And as for Abu Jahm, he is the rob. He hits the woman. In another hadith, he said he doesn't take his stick off of his shoulder. Because of our love for the companions, some of the scholars said the meaning of he doesn't take his stick off of his shoulder, the meaning of it is he travels a lot. You know how the people used to tie the cloth on the end of the stick and he travels like that. Because of the love for the companion, they said that. But if you gather all of the narrations, you can't have that interpretation. Because it said, He hits his women. Too many narrations. But that's not to put him down. Radiallahu anhu. One string of hair from the lihya of Abu Jahm is better than all of us. Will I go overboard and say we will be the dogs of Abu Jahl radiallahu anhu? Will I say that? I'm willing to be the dog of Abu Jahl. I'm willing to be the shoe of Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn. La wallahi. I don't want to be the shoe of any human being. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Allah said, we have honored Bani Adam, all of them. We honored them. I don't want to be the shoe of anyone. The man said, I'm willing to be the jariya, the little girl for Al-Hasan, his little girl, his slave girl. I don't want to be the slave girl of Abu al-Hasan or Hasan al-Ali, anyone for that matter. Don't go overboard in those statements. So Abu Jahm, radiallahu anhu, one strand of hair from his lihya, better than all of us. Why? Because of his suhbah to Rasulullah. كم هذا يا أستاذ غضنفر؟ كم العدد؟ كم تكلمنا؟ أربعة خمسة أشياء؟ وعليكم السلام. How many things have we mentioned so far, أخي؟ Number five, إخوان, is the person who has to get the munkar. We want to make the إزالة المنكر. We want to get rid of some evil that's going on. Then you can make ghibah of someone. People over there, they have a house, and in that house, they're making khamr. So someone comes and say, come and help us. We want to go over there and talk to these people about the khamr. You can make ghibah to make the inzalat al-munkar. Akhi, would you come with me to my brother-in-law's house? Because he's doing this, he's doing that. We have to stop this munkar from taking place. He's getting high, smoking crack, selling crack. He's selling movies that are haram and this and so forth. And finally, ikhwan, finally, number six, is the one who is a jahir bisu, the one who is an open sinner. He doesn't have haya,
كل أمتي معافا إلا المجاهرين. All of my ummah will be forgiven except the ones who broadcast. So when we do these sins, that doesn't mean go ahead and do the sins, but it means try to hide the sins that you do do. All of the people who hide their sins, they will be forgiven. Why? Because if we don't hide them, we'll teach people that it's okay. If we smoke in front of the masjid, if we smoke in front of the masjid, we'll teach these little kids smoking is okay in itself, and it's okay to do it in front of the community. So evil comes as a result of that. So Islam doesn't say, go smoke in private. It doesn't tell you, but it says if you do smoke, don't smoke in front of the people. Don't smoke in front of the people. So if a person is an open sinner, then it's permissible also to make riba. He's a fajr. He's a fatiq. He drinks khamr. Because he himself didn't respect his own situation. Those are the six times where you can make riba. If you want further elaboration, ikhwan, about this, all of the books, the main books of Al-Islam, deal with riba. Go to the book, Riyadh al-Saliheen, that you all have. Read that with your wives. Start paying attention to the issue of talking about other people with what they don't deserve. If I said to my wife, oh, the brother, he has a long beard. His beard is too long. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that for me to say that. That's riba. So we need to be cognizant. We need to think about, what am I saying about people and other people? It's not permissible. Not permissible. If the person is in the presence and you said something that he didn't like, then it's not ghiba. Even if he didn't like it, it's not ghiba. Now the issue of was it oppression or that and this and that, then this comes into play, but it is lesser. So, Ikhwan, today's lesson is the most important lesson as it relates to the lisan. لا تختابوا المسلمين كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Don't make ghiba of the Muslims. So now, I want to challenge those brothers that I spend a lot of time with. Brothers like Ghazanfar, people who I've been spending quite a bit of time with lately. Your companion who you have, the one who you have as a companion, let us begin to remind each other and to say to each other, that's not permissible, akhi. I think that's ghiba. The brother Ali and his brother Qurban are always together. Akhi, don't that, I think that's ghiba. Mentioning something about someone in his absence is not permissible. And the ni'mah sahib, the ni'mah companion, is the one who's going to remind you of that. Lisan, as Abu Huraira, Abu Bakr said, it has led to my destruction. Awradani hadha al-mahalik. This has caused me to be destroyed. So our hour is up, Ikhwan. If you guys have any questions now, inshallah, we want to remind you of two things very quickly. These forms, we want you to take them. We haven't been getting a good response from the people as it relates to filling out the forms and trying to do what you can possibly do for the dawah efforts. We want you guys to get a little bit more serious and committed to this particular dawah project. So we want to pass it out, inshallah. And the second thing is there is food upstairs. So take a form and try to support the effort. Do you brothers have any questions? Sisters have any questions? Any questions? Ikhwati fillah. Any questions? What's your name? Abid, where you from? Please, Fadl Abid. Hold up, after that. But take them with you, but after that. Fadl Akhi Abid. Abid, I'm mu'ajib bika. I'm impressed with the fact that you brought a pen and you brought a notebook and you wrote it down. It's a sign of a good student of knowledge, inshallah, and ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq, Abid. Fadl. The ghiba of the kuffar, when they make ghiba of people, if they make ghiba of other kuffar, then we leave that because we hope that they weaken each other and the seed of discord and disunity is planted between their hearts. And we hope that they continue to do that. Unless the person finds that person is inclined to good, so he wants to teach them about the high level of Al-Islam and what our religion says about it. But in general, the hadith said, it is mentioning your brother with what is from what he doesn't like.
As for making ghiba of the kuffar, don't believe anything that that brother, that that man says. He's a liar. If he said that it happened like that, it didn't happen like that. Don't believe him. He's a liar. He's this, he's that. There's no ghiba for those people. They're not our brothers. But of course you have to weigh the situation. As for us making ghiba, and the kuffar are listening and witnessing it, then that's even bigger. That's even a shadd wa azam. As for us making ghiba, and the person you're making ghiba of is your mother, or your blood brother, your relative, your wife's husband, your wife's brother, father, mother, then that's a shadd. You making ghiba of a scholar, that's a shadd. When you say about the scholar, he gave that fatwa because he was with the government or he was scared. That's worse than ghiba. That's slander. He bore witness, testified against him in the court of law. That's slander. So it is a sheikh. Concerning the hudud and who can get punished and when can you get punished, this is from the major issues that knowledge is required to know what you're talking about. You just can't shoot from the hip and just say what you want to say. So in general, I don't know of any dalil that would say that you can get a hadd from the hudud because of ghiba in and of itself. But if the Muslim judge, the Muslim ruler, if he feels that there's a person making so much fitna about a particular thing, then he does have the right and the ability and the authority to... Shukran Ibrahim, how you been? Good, alhamdulillah. Then the person, the imam, he does have the ability. But ghiba in itself, I don't know any dalil that would say that ghiba has a had attached to it. Naam, shafal.
And on the third stage, employer talking about his employee, like the supervisors get together and talk about the employees. Will they be making ghiba on three of them?
All of those are permissible times to make ghiba under the condition that people are not being negative and spiteful and trying to put people down. The mother or the father who's talking and mentioning negative things about the child for his own best interest, that is not ghiba. The supervisor who has to evaluate and judge the performance of those people who are under his supervision, and he's judging based upon the facts, that is not ghiba. All of those ways of a taqweem, of strengthening and developing a person's life, all of that is permissible, and that's from the deen. The deen has allowed that to strengthen him and to protect people. If he's not competent, he's not qualified, he shouldn't drive the bus. He shouldn't drive the bus. If a person wants to make tawbah, ikhwan, tawbah from any sin requires that first you feel sorry for what you did. You have a nedim, you are sorry for what you did. Then you leave alone what you're doing. And then you agree and you say, I'm never going back to it. So you're sorry. And nedab huwa tawbah. To feel sorry is tawbah, he said. And then you decide, I am not going to go back to that thing again. I'm going to leave it altogether. Number three, if you've taken someone's haq, his money, his property, you have to give it back. If you make tawbah with the first two and you don't give it back and you still have it, there is some benefit in your tawbah, but you didn't make the complete tawbah. You have to give it back for the tawbah to be totally, absolutely complete. And part of that is to go to that individual and to say to the individual, hey, I talked about you in a way that I shouldn't have. Would you please forgive me? So that he doesn't take your deeds, yawm al-qiyamah. But you lost the opportunity to say that. Or you can say it, but it's going to make a bigger fitna. He's the type of person, if you go to him, you say, I talked about you in a way that I shouldn't have. He's going to make a problem for you then. In that case, you don't say it.
In the case of the one who lost the opportunity to make amends, to make islah, to make peace, he makes dua for that individual. He makes dua, as he made ghiba, he talked about him in his absence, he makes dua for him in his absence until he feels that he has repaid him in kind. Any more questions, ikhwati fillah? Uthman. That's an excellent question. If a person is being oppressed by someone like the parent, and they come and they tell someone just to get it off their chest, this could be permissible and it can be haram. If he's going to the individual, he knows that individual can't do anything practical by changing the situation. But maybe that individual can give him advice. He can give him advice. And as human beings, you have to be able to get certain things off of your chest. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in the Quran, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. And Allah is the one who caused you to laugh, and He's the one who caused you to cry. Because if you can't laugh, or you can't cry, you are in trouble in this dunya. You have to be able to laugh, and you have to be able to cry things off. Some people are so happy that they cry, and some people are so sad that they laugh. Those people will go crazy. They're so sad that they start to cry. So you gotta be able to get that thing off your chest. But if you're going to mention something to bring someone down, to vent, and just to pay your mother and your father back, and you're saying what is negative, don't expose your mother and your father like that. Don't expose your mother and your father like that. This is the last question, Ikhwan, from one of our sisters in Al-Islam. And before I forget, we want to welcome back our brother, Abdul Azim, who made the Hajj, the Umrah. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept his Umrah, making an Umrah Maqboola, and all of the khatawat, the steps that he took around the Kaaba and everything in the Masjid al-Haram, and Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts all of that from him. Brother Abdul Adim is a young brother. We want you younger brothers also to start looking at going to Umar and Hajj as being serious. That kalam about when I get married, when I turn 40, when I do this, when I do that, that's from Shaitan. Make Hajj while you have the strength and the money. And you young brothers, you have to start saving your pence and your pennies right now for Hajj. When they ask you, what are you saving your money for? You say, I'm saving my money so when I turn 17, inshallah, I make Hajj. When I turn 15, I make Hajj. The sister said, can you talk about someone without mentioning their name? Even if they catch on about who you are talking about accidentally. If it is known who you're talking about, if it's known who you're talking about, then that's ghibah. Then that is ghibah. But if it's not known who you're talking about, then there's an acceptable reason, religious reason to mention that without mentioning names, and it's permissible. The Prophet used to come and tell the people, "Ma balu aqwam yaquluna kada wa kada." He used to say, what is it that some people do this and do that? What do you think about people who do this and do that? And those people will be sitting there, but the other people wouldn't know who he was talking about, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ikhwani, get a companion. Let us now, from this point on, say to those who are with us, let us be diligent in saying, this is ghiba and that is ghiba. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.